kind of clear out that room. We have other, the teenagers that are going with Level Up, going up there with Level Up. We have tacos and juice and all the good stuff over there. Benny, if you would, go ahead and make sure that that room is cleared out. We have that on schedule, okay? I know Pastor Ernest is going up there as well. Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. Challenges. Say it with me. Challenges. Challenges make you grow. Amen. They make you grow. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, youth, as they go. Go have your church service and your taco service for me. I want you to look at your neighbor. I'm not going to keep you real long. I'm going to minister this word that I really feel that's in my spirit. How many of you, and I know we all were kind of glued to the TV when we saw that the hurricane was coming. And when Hurricane Harvey was coming, didn't you see how it kind of changes directions? And then would hit land, but then it'd come out and then go back. And it made three landfalls. Three. Harvey is the name for, we understand, for battle, for war. Was coming into Corpus Christi, Body of Christ, and hit Rockport as well. It hit the coastline. Here's what I believe that the Lord has been showing us is that there's some things that are going to take place that even when the course is on and things are coming your way or you're on course, there may be some detours and there may be some infractions that will make you have to go and shift to a different direction. Now, have you ever seen how they do the spaghetti mods, how they just kind of go this way and that way? Doesn't it kind of seem like that's how it is when we start following Christ? We start following him, and we're going this way, we're going that way, and turning around in circles, going right back again. But it's kind of like how the Israelites were when they were in the wilderness. They began to follow after the pillar and the cloud, and he led them around for 40 years. Now, can you imagine what their thoughts were at that time? I know we've been here before. I know I've seen this thing before. I know I've seen this mountain before. I know I've looked over at that bush before. For 40 years, you know you're going to start seeing things over and over and over. But I would imagine that he would maybe change some things so that they wouldn't get too comfortable in following after him. Okay, listen. Now, how many of you have, you have a grass in your backyard or you have a lawn, and it rains just a little bit. Doesn't it, like, grow extremely fast? Okay, it's like the same things with God, is when you get to the point where you learn to follow him, things around you begin to change so fast. And when they change so fast, what used to be something you could look at and understand what it is and what it meant has a tendency to change, that you can't recognize it the same way. For 40 years, they wandered in the desert, but a lot of miracles taking place. For one, the shoes didn't wear out. For 40 years? For 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out. Now, I don't know about you, they must have had some small feet that just never grew. But I know there's some things that take place in our life that we take for granted. And I ain't talking about the shoes, because some of y'all like those Jimmy Choos and all those real expensive shoes, and you take care of those. How many of you still have boxes in your closet so that after you wear them, you put them in the boxes and you store them? Uh-huh. So you'll take care of those shoes. But what is it when God begins to take care of you in the way that he stores you, preserves you, even when things are changing in the midst? I'm going to gather you to myself. Even though you're wandering and you think it's aimlessly, but I'm doing something inside of you to work what's inside of you out. But in the midst of me working inside of you to get rid of that sensation and that craving that you have to be your old self, I'm going to work inside of you, but I'm still going to preserve you. I'm going to keep you. And I'll perform miracles every step of the way. You just have to trust me. Will you trust him? Now it says that, in the Old Testament that they were murmurers and complainers. Were they not? How many of you read the Bible? Okay, it's an Exodus. It's an Exodus. And so they murmured and complained, and he says they're stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. Have you ever tried to move about with your neck stiff? Watch this. Because if your neck is stiff, any movement that you try to make, your whole body moves. So we may have a tendency to want to look at things to the left and to the right, but your whole body is going to move in the direction that you're looking. What God is trying to teach us, guys, is I'm going to do something new. It's going to be new in you, but I got to get rid of the old that's been impregnated inside of you. Because some seed didn't come from God, some seed came from the enemy. And when the enemy begins to plant seed in your life, he's got to begin to cultivate and move that thing out. Because, you know, we have some of those plants, Mama, that we got to be real careful with it. When we start kind of lifting up, we start taking up the roots, but you're actually taking up the roots from the good plants, the good seed. You got to be careful because the roots of the bad seed gets intertwined with the good seed. You can't just rip it. The Bible says that when it's time for harvest, let it harvest, because then you'll see that the harvest of the good seed will bow down, but the tares will stand straight up, and you know which to get rid of at that point. So what is he saying? He goes, even the good seed and the bad seed are going to produce a harvest. But I'm going to give it a season for it to stay in you. And to you recognize it so that I can remove it. So I believe that God is saying, I'm going to do some things that's going to make you feel like you're walking like those spaghetti models of a hurricane, and you're going this way, that way. You're unsure where it's going to go, and you give yourself a range of where you might land. But how many of you know that God is precise? He knows exactly where you're going to be. He's not just going to cast you out there and say, where you fall is where you land. That's okay. I have a plan and a purpose for you. And because he does, he's going to lead you. Some of the things around you will change. He's going to give you signs in the stars to know where you're navigating to, correct? Now, I don't know how to do the navigation by stars. If I find the Big Dipper, Little Dipper, that looks like the saucepan. That's it. Now, I couldn't tell you the North Star. I couldn't tell you South Star. I could tell you the mall that's over here and the South Park Mall. That's all I could tell you. I don't look at the stars like that. But some people made a living out of reading the stars. Yeah. Yeah. Astrologers. You know those ones that y'all get on y'all's app to get that, what the astrology says for the day. So you get the, so you have an app that gives you the Bible verse, and then you have the app that gives you what the astrology is saying. And sometimes you want to go which weather one sounds good to you. How many of you get those fortune cookies, and if you look and you're looking at the back, well, these are my numbers, so I'm going to go play my numbers. We're always looking for some sort of guidance. Here's the truth. We are. We really are. You know why the prophetic is so strong in the body of Christ? Because people always want to know what's next. And so the world system knows, I want to know what's next too, but I want to know what's going to profit me. Well, I want to know if brother so-and-so is really going to fall in love with me. Is it in my stars? Come on now. Before you weren't all saved. I know that. You weren't all saved the whole time. Y'all dabbled in some stuff. I know you did. I know those candles that you had burning with the picture of your spouse next to you. I know you had it. Uh-huh. I know you did. And with the coins on top of the door seals, just so that you can have prosperity going in, prosperity going out. This is all taken from the Bible. All of these things that these astrologers and curanderos, they're just trying to use it and twist it. That's it. But if someone was to come and tell you that, I know the path for you. And the Lord said, would you listen? Yeah, you would. You would listen because you're looking for what God is trying to get you to do. Now, what if someone says, I know what the stars have shown me. Would you listen to what the stars know? Turn with me to Matthew 2. Matthew 2. Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 2. Now, you're going to think that this is going to be a sermon on the Christmas story. How many of you have the nativity scene at home? The little nativity scene. Y'all have those? You have the nativity with the animals and the manger, the little baby Jesus. Okay. Very popular. Every time Christmas comes, my wife always says, oh, I want the big one for the whole yard. We're going to get it someday. How many of you know? Someday. You know. So, I want you to, are you there at St. Matthew chapter 2? Yes? I'm going to begin reading. We honor the word by doing the word, not just by standing, sitting, whatever, by doing the word. Amen? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen what? The star in the east, and come to worship him. That'll preach all by itself. All by itself, that'll preach. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that the insights that you have in your word, Father God, are the nuggets of truth that we will begin to maturate in this word together as one, Lord. And we thank you that it will catapult us to the destiny that you have for us. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. I want you to put your emphasis on this real quick, that these are astrologers. These are the magi. These are the wise men. These are the wise men from the east. They saw a star. They knew that the star represented that the king was being born, the savior, a child being born. How is it that the world system can know something about God's kingdom before the kingdom of God does? Now, I want you to see this. Now, you read this with me as well, did you not? But this is what it said. Now, we have seen the star in the east and are come to worship him. Here's what I want you to say. Astrologers wouldn't worship Jesus unless something inside of them told them that this is the king that we should all revere. This is the king that we should worship, because astrologers, think of it, astrologers put their faith in what? The stars. The stars. I found it very interesting. I found it very interesting when I began to read this and study this, that there's going to be some things in our life that are going to come from the world system that's going to wind up blessing the church. Some of y'all might get this in a minute and start shouting a little bit. The Bible says somewhere in there, mama, that the wealth of the wicked is what? It's stored up for the righteous. So if God is going to use the world system to bless the kingdom system, that don't mean that you start getting those buses and those cars driving out to Kickapoo, you know, Eagle Pass and all that, or going out to these bingo parlors and stuff because God's going to bless me. Put your faith in God, and you can use that as entertainment for fun, but put your faith in God. Watch what he'll do. Watch what he'll do. Now these three wise men, you know, they come in, they appear. We know that when they come and they find Jesus, they find Jesus with Mary. But before they find him, they had to ask questions. They had to ask for directions. Did they not? That's a miracle by itself. Three men asking for directions? Three men. We can't get men nowadays with Siri, Google, or even the GPS system to stop and ask for directions. So where do they go? They go to King Herod and ask, where is the child that is to be born? For we have seen the star in the east. Watch this. Then the king asked, well, when you find him, let me know. Let me know. How many of you have had someone kind of pull you aside and say, when you find out where he is, let me know? Has anybody ever pulled you aside to tell you something in secret? Careful. What's the motive behind it? Careful. Don't ever get pulled aside for someone to try to tell you something otherwise than what the word says. Be careful who's got your ear. Because you don't know the motive of what they're speaking to you. Be careful. If God is speaking to you, God's going to confirm to you what he's been speaking to you. Amen. But I found it interesting that these wise men, these astrologers, came to ask a king for directions where they thought that the child was born. And then he says, well, when you find him, bring back to me the report where he is so that we too can go and worship. I can worship him. Now watch this, watch this. So we know this. They're bringing the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, and they're coming to bring their gifts to Jesus. And so when they come, they find now Jesus and Mary, they find the baby that was already born in the home. Now we know that he wasn't born in a home. He was born in a manger. But I find it very interesting when he first came into the scene, when Mary's looking for a place to give birth, no one would welcome him. But at the moment that Jesus is born onto the earth, the house is now opened. There's some things that are going to happen as you're carrying something that doors may not open. But when the birthing comes, all kinds of doors start opening. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all may get that. When you're carrying the seed, some people are not going to let you in. Some people are going to deny you. Some people are going to keep you locked out even in the midnight hours. Even when you've got nothing, don't know how you're going to make it, they may keep you locked out, not even let you in. But when it's got birth inside of it, and it's getting ready to be birthed in the natural, the moment Jesus steps onto your scene, doors start to open for you. Doors start to open for you. Things start to happen for you. He begins to move and makes a place of dominion in your life. But you see, when they came and found Jesus, they bowed down. They bowed down and presented their gifts. Now, here's what I want you to see. After they presented their gifts and they worshiped the King, Jesus, the baby, if you read on the word, did they go back the same way they came? Did they go a different way? So they had to change their course. They had to change their course. I may have been going in this direction. I thought I was going to do this, but I had to change my course because of the events that took place in my life. I had to change my event. I have to change my course because of the event. I was going to go over here, but something said go this way. I don't know why I came this way, but something said if I continue to go that way, there's going to bring all kinds of damage to my purpose. If we stay on our course, if we stay on our heading, if we stay what we think is right, we will miss what God said for us to do, because what is being sent is still out to do what it needs to get done, because Herod was still going to find a child to kill. So the Magi went a different direction. There was still a decree. And babies did die. But not the seed. Not the one. Because they didn't bring a report back to where he was. Sometimes God's going to make you shift, Stephen, so that he can get you to where you really need to go. It may not look like you're supposed to go that way, or like what mama and daddy said it got to be like. You just sometimes got to shift. Sometimes you've got to be detoured to get to your destination. Oh, Lord. Mama. I'm focused going this way. But something says, shift. I've got to go a different way. I came in the city one way, but I'm leaving the city another way. I came to worship, but in me worshiping the King, he shifted my direction. He shifted me in a point where I needed to go, which ultimately was my destination. Because once I get an understanding that my worship will alter my course, because it'll shift destiny. No, they were just going to go see the baby. But something inside of them said, don't go back the way you came. You got to go a different way. It may seem like what we're going in a different direction is not going to make sense. But as long as I go the way that I'm being led, the blessing will stay on me and what's been impregnated in me because of my obedience to following my destiny. Now it will be discovered on my journey. Do we read about these wise men anymore? Once you get into the presence of the king and you reverence the king, it didn't matter his age. It's knowing that the seed of God and his potential before he ever finished his kingly anointing here on earth, you worshiped what he is before he became. Oh, how is it that these heathen, knew to worship this child when the church denied the entrance to the child? Even though the angel came and announced, first of all, a supernatural event to take place. It's recorded. And the church still denied. So what happened? Now we have the angel not just speak to Mary, but then also speaks to Joseph. It is recorded. They knew that much. The church knew this much, but the church still denied. Why? Because they weren't used to supernatural things being done in the earth in this form or in this fashion. What is going to take place in the body of Christ is going to go against your every spiritual mindset you have. That it will take the world system to realize that's God. And the church will look at it and say, I don't know. Let me pray about it. Let me fast on it. Something just hits my spirit wrong. We're being detoured, shifted from what we thought. They left a different way. When they make decisions, Mama, it may not be what you thought, but God has them in his hands. And he'll get them to where they need to go. And I don't know why this is coming to you. Not because you're precious boys right there. He's so precious. But this is for your eldest. When it seems like that storm of adversity that's trying to mess with his destiny, be at peace. Be at peace. Because it's going to transition him and shift him for a different place, a different season, a different place. Because God has promotion for him that he has to prove to him a supernatural way for him. Hear this. Hear it, Liz. Hear it. There's that shift. Oh, it's this. If it's about you, it's about you. And if I've got to detour your other one and make a change midstream, he's still going forward. He's still going forward. He's still going to be at that place called there. Because he's made it to his there now. Now he's going to that new place called there. New steps are being ordered. Trust that it's God. Trust that it's God. Are these three wise men? They were astrologers. How many of you know that astrologers in the Bible is frowned upon? It's a sin. It's a sin. It's an abomination. Astrologers. But why is it that God would use the astrologers to come and worship the king? Why would he bring Why would he bring gifts from the east to worship this child? Because the church missed it and didn't pay attention. So they had to see the star from the east. And they had to bring the gifts to present it to the church, because there's a shift taking place from what the world has stored up and shifting it now back into its original position so that the church can be in its rightful place. There's going to be a shift, guys, I'm telling you. Just, I don't care if you get in at the last hour. There's a shift. There's a shift. I said, there's a shift. There is. See, my mamas, there's three here, three wise women. I'm telling you, Kelly, there's a shift. Because the prayers of a mother and the tears that have come forth in that time of prayer and solitude. It's what's been watering the seed. You have sown in tears, but you're going to reap in joy. You have been through a season of darkness, but the light is about to shine. And where the darkest clouds have come, I hear the Spirit of God saying, my son is still on the throne. My son is piercing through. You have continued to be faithful with the little. Watch what I'll do on behalf of your seed. What the enemy tried to kill your seed, my life shall spring forth in your seed. Don't you quit. Don't you back up and be still. You stare that enemy in his face. You pull that sword out. And it's the word of God that says, I've come to fight. I've come to fight for what is rightfully mine. You take your hands off. You can't touch my children. You can't touch my grandbabies. You can't touch the seed of God. You can't put a decree to kill this seed. I'm going to shift. I may not enter and leave the same, but if I come in, I'm going to walk out a different way. I may go in a different direction, but something inside of me says, follow me, son, follow me. I'm going to lead you. And if you look back over the history of your life, I made it look like you were doing detours your whole life. But I was working some stuff out of you so I could put inside of you what is necessary to bring a people out of their bondage. Because it wasn't about you. It was about those following you. Hear this. Hear this. Your prayers will shift. There were so many people praying in San Antonio, not here, not here. 1 inch of rain. Why? You think this is just happenstance? No, I need a city that's been praying where I said revival was going to break forth to be ready to mobilize, to go into the place. I needed a city that knew how to pray. I'm not coming against Houston. I'm not coming against the coastline. But I had someone in mind that would respond quickly. Quickly. There's many cities that begin to respond quickly. Why? God will always make a way of escape. Always. But he's very methodical in everything that he does. Prophets for years, a decade, have been saying revival is coming to San Antonio, Texas. How can we have revival unless we have an awakening? We have been awakened to the storm. We've been awakened to the shift that has taken place. Now we're becoming mobilized to go and get where we need to go. I stood at this pulpit and told you, if I lose it all, and all I got is a tent, and all I got is an open field, and all I got is a people that nobody wants to love, and if all I got is just to be out there with the cows, I'll preach every cow into salvation. I'll preach to every animal to be set free. I will go into the highways, into the byways. I will do what is necessary, because what's inside of me is not just for me. You better hear this. And I looked at my mom. I said, Mama, we have a tent to take food to the people. And what sprung inside of me was what I showed you on the way back from Rockport. Will you just do it if you lose it all? I said, Lord, I've lost everything. I don't live for me. I'm going to be a little bit transparent, and I might get in trouble for this. I said, Lord, I knew how to scheme. I knew how to steal. I knew how to make things work for me and get what I wanted when I needed it, and I would take it any kind of way I wanted. But when I got saved, the Lord changed me inside. Changed me inside. Don't you dare go back to your old ways. Don't you dare go back to your scheming ways. Because what I have for you, you may have a little bit in your cupboard, but guess what? I'm going to make it stretch. I'm going to make people come to your door. I'm going to make people go buy you a freezer because I'm about to stock it up with goods. And you're going to look back and say, where did this come from? It didn't come from them. It came from me, said God. When you can put your faith in me, I will make things just shift in your life. Then it will overtake you. What does that mean? It's going to run you down, jump all over you. You can't even shake the blessing. I had preachers all the time tell me, you got to die to self. You were talking to a dead man. A dead man. You don't understand. I'm a dead man that's alive in Christ. I put away my old ways, and I put on the new ways of Christ. And I said, God, even if I'm going this way and you shift me, I'm going this way. And if you shift me again, I'll go that way. It don't matter which way I wind up, because I know as long as I'm following you, you have a plan and a purpose for me. It don't matter. Watch this. Then he said, don't get stiff-necked on me. What's been happening to my neck? For the past week and a half, out of nowhere, my neck would get stiff on me. My wife looked at me last night again. I said, What happened? I'll be back. Go get in the presence of God. And he says, my people. My people want to turn back to their wicked ways. They want to go back to their old ways and to their old gods. He says, if I called you to be such and such, don't think it's just you. You're going to feel what's on you. You've carried a weight on you that's been very burdensome to you. You've carried this weight on your shoulders and in your heart that has weighed you down to the point that you can't see to celebrate in the little things that comes your way because you think it's about to be lost. You deserve even greater and better. The wind that is blowing behind you is going to take you, if you would just lift your sails like a sailboat, and he's going to drive you further and further into his blessings. I want to encourage you. Leave that weight and put it on him. Please. And I keep hearing that it has to do with your family, that you're worried about, you're concerned about, that you feel like it's your responsibility. It's not. I'm not being brass or crass. I'm just telling you that God says it's his responsibility. Your heart has been, and I don't know if you've been to the doctors, but I keep feeling like the blood pressure like this on the neck, the artery. you've had high blood pressure going up and down, up and down. Maybe it's just because you're stressed. In the name of Jesus, I release peace to you right now. In the name of Jesus, peace. Let the healing and the presence of God just permeate you. Let him bring about that change that is necessary for you. It's not your burden to carry. Just give it to him. Now, this is the million-dollar question for every Christian in here. How do we give it to him? God, I can't do it, but I know you can. When it comes into my mind or comes into my heart, I'm just going to thank you ahead of time. That's how you give it. Thank him ahead of time for it. Because it's going to happen. Amen. If I lose it all, I told God, send me. I will go. I will go. I started my journey. 5 people. Not including my family. Truth be told, I got a big family. 5 different people. Started with my wife and I, not including my family, in a hotel room. And we transitioned into our own strip center. And then God shifted me here. I complained every single day. I ain't lying. I complained every single day. Because my mindset was it has to be that way. I like things in order. I get Sylvia nervous every time I look back there at hospitality. Sylvia? Oh, here she comes. What's missing? Why? I like things in order. I like things done right. But God was saying, you're missing the point, son. I have a purpose for you to be there. And in you being there, I'm going to frustrate you. I'm going to agitate you. I'm going to stir you. But you're going to hear more clearly now than you've ever heard me before. You're going to know how to hear for people in a different area of their life. And then you're going to have an understanding of what I'm doing. But I'm going to put you in a hard place so that you can seek me more. Now you better hear this. Remember I said before in this beginning of this whole series about the system, the root system? Don't pray, God, give me faith. Because all hell's coming your way to show you that you already have it. My prayer was, God, I want to hear you clear. I ain't praying that no more. Theo, I'm telling you, I'm not praying that prayer no more. Lord, I thank you. I hear you clear. I hear you loud and clear. I thank you for the panoramic picture. I see it all. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. I ain't praying that no more, Mama. I got it. But when he shifts you, there's a whole new set of circumstances that are presented to you. See what the enemy is after, what I said last week? The seed. He's after your seed. But when you begin to follow after the things that don't make sense, when God is leading you, when someone tries to pull you aside and tries to speak to you in the private place, I spent all my private time with God. It don't line up with what he has said. I don't have time. Pastor, you need to go do this. That's not what God is telling me. I'm sorry. God bless you. I love you. I got to go this way. You need to connect with so-and-so. And that's not what God is telling me. I need to go this way. Then all of a sudden, God says, just shift. I'm going to make you go down a path that's going to go through some people. And I'm going to bring you to the forefront. And I'm going to connect you with people that you would never have met unless you were in that hard place. And once you get to that hard place, you're going to start looking around, start finding other people that I have sent your way that were in debt just like you. They had hardships just like you. They had trouble just like you. They were outcasts just like you. And then you're going to see that I have a plan to get you to Gilgal. And as I get you to Gilgal, you're going to continue to go back to that place of Gilgal and get replenished, refreshed, and go back out. He says, don't go chasing the crown. I'll bring it to you. I'll bring it to you. When God shifts you and makes you detour and makes you go in a different place, he makes you go in a different route, that doesn't mean it's over. It's just a new place that will have you go. That doesn't mean you're forgotten. And it doesn't even mean it's your fault. It just means I have a plan. You have to trust him, Jojo. He's going to do it. Because we don't like it when we shift. We don't like it when it doesn't look like this is where we're supposed to be. But when he shifts us, he gets to us what we need. He shifts us. He also gets things away from us that we don't need. I said, Lord, this is just a little bit too much for me. I don't want to continue being in this place. He says, you better start enjoying what you have. I love it, Lord. It's so beautiful. Because you're getting ready to go underneath the stars. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There ain't going to be no seats. It's just going to be dirt. Hallelujah. They'll walk for miles to get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're not going to look like you. Hallelujah. They're not going to worship like you. Hallelujah. They're not going to know me like you know me. Hallelujah. It's going to be different. What are you going to do? I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow. I'm going to go against the grain. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I don't care if it looks like I'm walking around aimlessly. You guide me. I'm not going to be stiff-necked no more. I'm going to submit my will to what his will is. And if we can do that, guess where he'll take us? To that place called there. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would. Stand to your feet as we close.